God has given to us, entrusted to us. And it's He, beloved, that worketh in us to will and to do His good pleasure. God's at work right now, revealing His will, His good pleasure, revealing to us what it is that He has for us in answer to our prayer according to His divine promises. And so the psalmist goes on and declares this, when I sought the Lord, He delivered me out of all of my fears. Out of all of my fears. What is it that's tormenting you tonight? There's not one of those that should remain once we've embraced our understanding of the goodness of God. Amen? When we realize that every promise of God in Christ Jesus is yea and amen to the glory of God by us. By us, by our willingness to step out. As soon as we move in faith, God's promises manifest themselves. Sometimes it takes a while, sometimes it's instantaneous. But the one thing is sure, God is moved by faith. And faith comes by hearing directly from the Holy Ghost, what promise it is that God's wanting to fulfill at this moment in our lives. We don't even know, so that's why we have to get quiet and let the Holy Ghost speak to us. Let the Holy Ghost know what verse we're standing on. We say, I'm standing on this verse. Where did you get that verse to stand on? Well, it's in the Bible. Well, that's good, praise God. But these verses in the Bible need to be quickened to us by the Holy Ghost to ensure us that this is the moment God wants that promise to manifest itself. We don't get to go out and pick whatever promise we want. God gives us what promise He's ready to fulfill at this moment. Sometimes the promise is immediate deliverance. Sometimes the promise is the grace to endure. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. And sometimes we're delivered out of the lion's den, and other times we're delivered through the fiery furnace, praise God. And so God in His wisdom is going to speak to you what you need to stand on. That's that rhema that we've spoken of so often. Let me go on here so that we don't get bogged down. But in this great 34th chapter, and we realize then that God is so desiring to deliver us. He goes on and assures us in verse 7. He said, I want you to know something. He said, the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear Him. And say it, delivereth them. The angel of the Lord encamps round about those. You know, the devil likes to take advantage of us. He'll take times like this when we're battling for some of these critical things, and then he'll begin to whisper in your ear, yeah, and you're next. And your kids are next. And he tries to create that environment of fear. All fear is the lack of comprehension of the true love of God. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. Amen? What a great faith. What a victorious stand that is to have that in our hearts. Who have set themselves against me round about. You know, the enemy comes in and we have, you know, we're facing, in addition to some of these ailments and sicknesses, we're also facing another very real situation with our brother Kevin in this upcoming date, and these lying enemies, this murdering spirit. And as they sit back smugly and mock and say, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield unto me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to stand up and begin to resist those lying forces, those people who have set themselves against us round about. Lord, it's time to arise and let these enemies be scattered. It's time for that stone to roll back upon those who mock the justice of God. Satan tries to bring fear, tries to bring doubts. We've been talking about the fact that hope deferred makes the heart sick, and we all know, well, there is going to be a day finally, in the end, justice will manifest itself. Amen? And the psalmist said, when I was discouraged, I don't understand the prosperity of the wicked. Why do they win some? Then I went into the house of the Lord. Amen? And I realize justice is coming, but I also want you to know that God knows how to deal with the wicked in this life too. I never pray for my enemies' destructions. I pray for God to be glorified by justice. I don't know what the justice is. I pray for the salvation of these people. I'm not in the place. It's above my pay grade to judge anybody and condemn anybody. But I do know what God's word says. And God will not always strive with men. And God is not slack concerning his promises. And so we wait on the Lord. Oh, beloved, beloved. The ultimate victory is not the destruction of our enemies, but the salvation of our enemies. But God will bring judgment to manifest his name and to glorify himself in our midst. The angel of the Lord encamps round about us. We look sometimes and it begins to see like almost, you know, almost everybody here, almost every household is battling in some way, right, and about something. Well, we're in the world. This is what happens in a sin-ridden, sin-sick world. Just think how much more we would be enduring if God didn't have his angels encamped around about us. And there's not one of these weapons formed against us that can prosper. And what we are facing today, every one of us as individuals, God has permitted that for our good. Hallelujah. I don't see any good coming out of this. You're not God. But what you do know is God is good. Amen? Amen? And God works all things for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. That's when we can rejoice in the Lord at all times. And again, I say rejoice. Praise God. And so his angel encamps round about us and delivers us from all of our fears. The Lord is good, he says in the next verse. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. We're facing these things in our lives today to find out God's testing us as to whether we're going to trust him or not. As we'll go on and see tonight as we continue the study, we're going to see that God is allowing these tests and these trials to be on us. You know, we seem to think that if we're going to walk in the Spirit and we're walking in obedience, we'll never have to taste of any of these trials or tests or tribulation. No, God allows these things. We saw the children of Israel, that he might prove them. Amen? And so we thank God for this refining process. And we thank him that he'll never allow us to be tested past that, that we're able to stand. And with every temptation, say it, he makes a way of escape. Hallelujah. I think I'll just sit here and praise him until he makes the way of escape. You know, we serve the God of the jailbreak. Amen. We read through the book of Acts just simply in those first few verses. God just kept opening prison doors and letting people out. Satan tries to put us in prison. You know, the enemy comes and tries to put us in the bondage of fear and doubt and begins to put trials and tribulations upon us. And the Lord delivers us out of them all, verse 19 says. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all, praise God. You ready to be delivered tonight? Did he find us last night at midnight singing praises? How do we respond in the lion's den? How did Peter respond in the prison? Isn't it amazing how in some of the greatest adversities, these great men of faith sleep? Oh, we saw them sleeping when they weren't supposed to at Gethsemane. But I want to tell you something tonight. There's a time to sleep. There's a time to rest. Amen. There's a time to let God handle this thing. There's a time to set back and let the refining process prove itself in us. This great working of the Holy Spirit that so many of us, we want to avert these things. Job 23:10, turn over there for just a moment. And we see in Job, it says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Hallelujah. Are you discouraged tonight? You haven't experienced anything like Job. Amen. If you ever get feeling sorry for yourself, just think about Job. If you ever start feeling sorry for yourself and your situation, then even here in the midst, we have others that we can look at. Whether it be Anne and her warfare, or whether it be E.G. or others. We've got a lot to be thankful for. Hallelujah. We've got so much to praise God for his goodness. And for every one of us, the preparation of this holy, pure, chaste bride is going to take some cleaning up in our lives. And you know what? It's grievous for the moment. Nobody likes chastening. But it works the perfect fruit of righteousness in us. Job, the scripture said, it said, I'll come forth as gold. Hallelujah. Isaiah the prophet speaking in chapter 48, and he speaks this great word to the people of God, the covenant people of God in verse 10. And he said, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. I don't know about you, but I'd like to stay out of the furnace of affliction. Hallelujah. But if God deems it necessary for me to enter that furnace of affliction, and it's the best thing for me and brings him the glory, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. The misconception today in so many of our minds, especially here in America, and the theology that we've created, that somehow as Christians, you know, it's going to be a trial-free experience. The thought of enduring and waiting for anything today for an American. I don't mind the Lord trying me as long as this thing's over in 30 seconds. I got somewhere to go. As we begin to redirect our thought processes, then we can begin to say, it was good for me to have been afflicted. Amen? Are you there yet? Now that's usually our testimony when we come out the other end. And we're like, man, I'm glad that is over. It so radically changed my life. And for 6 months, we're so, so different. And then we go back to apathy, to carnality, to self-indulgence. That thing that your testimony of your own mouth says, this has changed me forever, usually lasts 6 months. And then we get to get tried again. And then we get to get our eyes opened again. But this time, it's just in another area. Oh, thank God, you probably were delivered for a lifetime from that situation, but you weren't delivered for a lifetime from self. And so as he's speaking to us in this 34th Psalm, and he says, the Lord, verse 18, is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Aren't you glad God is here tonight? And he's near to those of us that are brokenhearted. Oh, we have a high priest that is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Wherever we find ourselves tonight, Jesus has been there, experienced that, and he's here with you tonight, praise God, to help you through your situation. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is near to those with a broken heart. And save such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. It's contrary to the natural thought process. Why do the righteous have so many afflictions? Because he's not a good devil. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, Acts 10:38, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Satan has one goal for everyone in this room: to curse God and die. God did this to you. God allowed this. Just curse him and die. Curse him. He loved me while I was a sinner. He sought me out. I wasn't seeking him. He called me to himself and redeemed me by his own blood and has called me his son and has declared that I will be seated with him as an overcomer for eternity. Praise God. Curse him over this little momentary blip. Or as we'll see here in just a moment, this light affliction. That word lightness there, it doesn't mean that it's easy. It means it's momentary. It only lasts for a period of time. This life is just a vapor. I stop and think, and in my mind, I mean, you stop and think, and it's just been like just yesterday, just a few days ago. As Janet's sister went home to be with the Lord, I think it was on Monday or two, I don't remember. Monday. And she went home to be with the Lord, and I was sharing Sunday, what a blessing to think five generations there of Pentecostal ladies, man, and just what a blessing to watch the heritage continue on. To hear the stories of Alvis and Frida as young adults, for some of you young adults, worshiping God in the sawdust tents. And you've read the stories. They experienced it. And people coming by and throwing rotten eggs at them and cutting the rope to the tents and having them collapse on the meetings. Being mocked as people that lived on the wrong side of the tracks, who were of that religion of the wrong side of the tracks. And I won't bore you with the details, but in my mind, I go back and think of many of the trials that they had gone through. Alvis dying as a fairly young man. Frida died as a young lady, younger woman, on the operating table having a heart bypass. Janet died way too young. A faithful family, heritage, full gospel, Bible believing. You know, the younger sister is not supposed to die 16 years before the older sister. The heartbreak they went through. And I think of it, and it's just only been 50 years. And it's gone like that. But they're all in heaven together right now. Praise God, rejoicing. Amen. These light afflictions are just for a moment. Hallelujah. That far greater, that exceeding weight of glory that waits for us in heaven. This isn't our home. This is temporary, praise God. We are being prepared for eternity to worship God. And make Him big all the days of our life. And to serve Him, I don't know how in the universe. But we know that we'll be back here and serve with Him and rule with Him on this planet someday. Let's get our minds set on the eternal. Let's realize that these things that seem so many times unfair, and these things that are the trials that we're experiencing, these furnaces of affliction that we've gone through. Realize it. He says in 1 Peter chapter 1, the trying of your faith is much more precious than gold. He said, I want you to realize that these things that you're experiencing, all of that trying perishes, though it be tried with fire. But he said, there's a trying, praise God, that will be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you're being prepared for. We sing that old hymn, right? It will be worth it all. It will. We've got it so good, man. that I think many of us have lost sight of the eternal the way we should grab a hold of it. We've got it so good here on this planet that we need to grab a hold of the glory that He has prepared for us, for those that are looking for Him, praise God. He's coming back soon. Why would God allow this to come upon me? Can I remind you that Father allowed it to come on His own Son? And He bore every person's in this room's pain and affliction and heartache. And every person that ever lived. Because in God's economy, this small investment of trials and tribulation for a moment, we have no idea that exceeding great benefit that awaits us. Eye has not seen, ear is not heard, it's not entered into the heart of man, the things that God has waiting for us. Hallelujah. So what do? We stand. What do? We sing praises at midnight. What do? We bless the Lord. Oh my soul, hallelujah. And then rejoice continually in the goodness of God. 1 Peter 4:12, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. You notice He didn't say here, He didn't put it present tense. He didn't say the trial that you're in. He said the trial that's coming. Do you understand that once you get out of this trial, there's another one coming? Amen. Whew, glad I got that over. Well, take a deep breath, shout hallelujah, and get ready for the next one. Amen. Because the trying of your faith works patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you might be made perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Hallelujah. I'd like to be able to give you another formula, but it doesn't exist. That's God's method. And the faithful God has assured us that you'll never be tried past that you're able to stand. What shall separate us from the love of God? Amen. Romans 8 says, none of these external circumstances can separate us from the love of God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God. You know, people mistakenly say, well, you know, it's just whether it's in interpersonal relationships and it's, you know, they had so much confidence in that person. Let's talk about some of our great leaders who have disappointed us and sin found in their lives and people who looked at them and reverenced them for their great work and what God had done through them. And all of a sudden we see their clay feet. And because of that, well, you know, these charlatans and these false prophets and whatever they might be. And because of that, the person lost his faith. They didn't lose their faith over that. They lost their faith over their love of self. There's not anything that another man does that can cause you to lose your faith. Amen. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. So many of us get worried, the different trials and different things, and what about this, and if somebody, what will these people think? That's not for us to concern ourselves with. What we concern ourselves is whether we're living it or not. Amen? Whether we're capable of saying, follow me as I follow Christ. And to be able to do that, Paul, and I don't want to get off into all that right now, but Paul makes it very clear when he says, follow me as I follow Christ. In the midst of all that, he's going through these whole circumstances telling you, let me show you all the trials I went through. His call, how many things you must suffer for my name's sake. As Paul begins to many times give his credentials there in Corinthians and goes through all the afflictions that he endured. And he makes it very clear that you and I are going to be able to experience some of those same things. You know, the scripture tells us in Job, it says, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the teaching, the correction, the chastening of the Almighty. It's a good thing. They're blessings. We're all familiar with, in fact, I think we even spoke to the other day, the 119th Psalm, 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I've kept thy word. Hallelujah. The most dangerous times for us are the times that we would call victory and peace. Prosperity. We don't have to go very far to read what the sin of Sodom was. We're clear what the prophet said the sin of Sodom was. Their prosperity, their pride, their ease and comfort and prosperity. David didn't get in trouble on the battlefield. He got in trouble on the patio. Sitting out on the deck. Taking his ease. You know, I've been putting so much time in over the years and serving, and I've served here and I've been there, and we're so busy, and I'd like to get my schedule cut back a little bit. I'd like to start taking it a little easier so that I can go out and just sit on the back deck and see Bathsheba. We're all familiar with the scriptures. Can I tell you something? Your eyes can't be satisfied. In our idleness, the more we look around and see, there is no satisfaction. We need to be on the battlefield where our eyes are on the enemy, praise God. And our time and energy is being used in destroying the works of darkness. In wielding the sword of the Spirit. You want to stay free from being tempted and drawn away to something? Just be active in the battle you're in. Be a soul winner. Be a prayer warrior. Let God teach us humility. Because self-indulgence or ambition cannot fellowship with humility. They don't run hand in hand. There is no pride in the prayer closet when a man is encountering God. And so he reveals to us those things. You see, when you're in prayer, you understand why you're involved in the situation. Because he reveals to you those things in you that have to change. And we go, yeah, okay, yeah, I see what, yeah, I need some help, man. I need this cleansing. I need this purification. The passage in 4:17 of 2 Corinthians that we're quoting, this light affliction, it says that it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. God's doing some great things in our lives. He's preparing himself a church. He's allowing us to experience this refining process. How necessary this is in our lives. And so as the psalmist then speaks back in this 34th psalm, he says in verse 14, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut them off, to cut off their remembrance from the very earth. The righteous cry, the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their trials. Hallelujah. What a blessed people we are. A people that have the promises of God, that have the assurance of that deliverance that belongs to us as believers. Ever present, ready always to deliver us. We'll end with 2 Timothy tonight in the fourth chapter as Paul's speaking here. And he talks about the fact that he's finished this course. He realizes at this moment that his departure is at hand. He says, I've fought the good fight. We know elsewhere in the epistles, he calls it the good fight of faith. I've fought the good fight. I've learned to lay down my own ambitions, my own strength. I've learned that there is no righteousness outside of Jesus Christ. There is a without the works righteousness, a without keeping the law righteousness. That law of spiritual life in Christ Jesus that Romans speaks of. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, I prefer to go on and be with the Lord, but for your sakes, it's necessary that I stay for a while. And so God's going to preserve me until his appointed time. God has a time for us. Not only a time appointed for us to die, but our steps are ordered by God. God's the source of our great victories. And God uses the devil and adversity to bring us to places of desperation. So that we too, like the apostle, can cry out, my most intimate times and my greatest knowledge and revelation with God is this. When I'm weak, then I'm strong, praise God. For his strength is made perfect in weakness. What a great truth. Many of us want to be strong, but in our own strength. You can't be strong in God's strength if you're strong in yourself and of yourself. Some of our greatest prayers are not when we in great volume and fervency crying out to God, but when we're whimpering and broken. And can just say, Father, help me. I want you to know that shakes heaven, man. It touches the heart of God. because a broken and contrite heart he will not despise. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come and learn of me, for I'm meek and I'm lowly. And we want to be majestic and exalted and strong and admired. There was no admiration of him whose visage was marred. There was no natural desire to affiliate it with he that was being publicly mocked and put on a Roman cross. There were very few that could stand at that moment. In fact, the scripture says they all forsook him. Paul later comes and says, you need to identify with his afflictions. You need to boast in those things that Jesus was and did. You need to associate with those that the world despises and mocks and uses their name as a byword. We're not seeking the praise of the world. We're seeking the favor of God. And he said, I've fought this good fight. And he says, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown. And not for me only, but all of them which love the appearing. He said, here I am in the last moments. I preached to, I prayed for, I laid my life down as no other man ever laid his life down for a people on your behalf, and they've all forsaken me. He identified with Jesus in that. Demas has forsaken me. He loved this present world. Luke's with me. Bring Mark. I've sent Tychicus to Ephesus. Bring me the cloak and the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Man, that's quite an indictment for a man like Paul to make a comment like that. Can I share something with you? Alexander got rewarded in his life according to his works. He greatly withstood this gospel. At my first answer, no man stood with me. All men forsook me. I pray that it wouldn't be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Hallelujah. Regardless of where you are in trial, temptation, the working of God in your heart to prepare you to become a greater man of God, you may feel alone, you may feel broken, you might feel cast down. All of those things that Paul speaks toward in Corinthians. But we're not forsaken. The Lord stands with us, praise God. And then we end with this for tonight. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, we thank you for that deliverance. We thank you for that place that is prepared for us. We thank you for the trials. We thank you for the afflictions. We thank you for the purifying of our souls that's taking place. We just ask tonight, Lord, that we would be able to change our gaze from the temporal to the eternal. That we would look into the heavens from whence comes our help. Hallelujah. Tonight, Lord, let us rest. Let us sing ourselves to sleep in the midst of our trials. Send your word. Send your angels. And be glorified in our deliverance. And we ask that in the mighty name of Jesus. And for it, Father, we give you all the praise and all of the honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you. Say, His promises are sure. Hallelujah. Go in peace and God's love go with you.